Well, we're going to look today, continue on in our study in the book of Luke. We're going to go to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18 in your Bibles if you have it with you. And as we continue our study in the book of Luke, we've been reminded the last time we looked at this of how, and all throughout our study, and just the tremendous way in which the Lord Jesus Christ deals with people. It's well known that this is the gospel that shows Jesus as the Son of Man, and we just look forward to what the Lord is going to share with us this morning from His Word. Yeah. So whether it was Pharisees or tax collectors, sinners, disciples, widows, children, or whomever, our precious Lord Jesus knew just how to deal with each one. And we've seen that all throughout the book of Luke. And I think we can testify to that in our own lives as the Lord deals with us day to day. And our own, we all have our own things that we're going through and we're dealing with. And the Lord is so gracious and merciful in dealing with us every day. The last time that we opened this, we were reminded by our brother John Williams of the importance of the persistence of prayer and the attitude of our hearts in prayer. And this was a great lesson for the disciples as they continued with the Lord Jesus in His earthly ministry. You know, and as we go through, we've gone through three Gospels already, going through them, and just seeing the Lord's earthly ministry and how the disciples went with them. And they were in the greatest school that there ever was. Now, after a short break in the teaching of the kingdom of God in chapter 17, the Lord Jesus picks up that thought again in our portion today in Luke chapter 18 and verse 15. We'll start at Luke 18 and verse 15. Then they also brought infants to him that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one. That is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother." And he, that's the certain ruler, said, "All these things I have kept from my youth." So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, "How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And those who heard it said, "Who then can be saved?" But he said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." Then Peter said, "See, we have left all and followed you." So he said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times more in this present time, and in the age to come, eternal life." Let's just ask the Lord for His help. Our God and our Father, we thank You this morning for Your Word, and we thank You for the truth that is in it, Lord. And we just pray that as we open it this morning, that You would speak to us, speak to our hearts. You know our hearts' desires, Lord. You know where we're at in our walk with You. And we just pray that You would speak to us this morning. Draw us near to You that we might follow you closer. And so we just ask for your help this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So we start off our portion here this morning seeing that those around the Lord Jesus, who at this time after the two parables before, had little children or infants present with them. And so up until now, in the book of Luke, we have seen young men and young women coming to the Lord Jesus for healing or help. We think of Peter's mother-in-law healed in chapter 4. The leper was cleansed and the paralytic healed in chapter 5. The man with the withered hand in chapter 6. The demon-possessed man in chapter 8. The man with dropsy in chapter 14. And we even have older boys and girls coming to the Lord Jesus. The son of the widow of Nain in chapter 7. A little girl restored to life in chapter 8. And a boy healed from his infirmities in chapter 9. But this is the first time that we see in this book that we have little babies or infants. And it says that they were brought to the Lord Jesus that he might touch them. Now this could be for healing or blessing or whatever, but whatever it was, these who were there, they brought their infants, their little ones, to the Lord Jesus. And whatever the case was, whether it was for healing or blessing, the disciples, they didn't really like that idea. And they saw it as more of a nuisance and rebuked the parents for doing such a thing. But here again, we see the heart of God manifested in his son, the Lord Jesus. He doesn't harshly rebuke the disciples back in return, but rather graciously calls the children to himself and says, "Do not forbid them." The New American Standard Bible puts it this way in verse 16 of chapter 18, "But Jesus called for them, saying, 'Permit the children to come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these.'" And the Lord Jesus takes this opportunity again to teach about the kingdom of God. And what we see here is that it belongs to people who come as little children or as infants. A parallel passage in Matthew chapter 18, verses 2 and 3 says, "And Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, 'Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven.'" And all of us, we have experience with children around here, whether they're your own children or your grandchildren, or just the children from the church that run around constantly. Children, when they're young and in an unfamiliar environment, will always look for a safe place to go, usually to mom or dad or to grandma and grandpa. And have you ever seen what happens when you hinder a child from getting to mom or dad or grandma and grandpa? It doesn't go well. It confuses them. They get sad. And they're not really sure what's going on. And so I think here that there's a warning in this verse to Christians not to hinder those who are genuinely seeking the Lord Jesus. You know, it's very easy for us to get in the way and to put our own thoughts and ideas before just sharing the Lord Jesus with the people who are genuinely seeking. Verse 17 tells us, if you don't, you will not enter it. If you do not come as a little child, you will by no means enter it, which is the kingdom of God. Now, this by no way means that if you're not saved, when you are a child, you will never be saved. It doesn't mean that at all, but it simply means, going back to our illustration of the young child looking for their mom or dad in an unfamiliar environment, to enter into the kingdom of God, you must come with faith like a child, in simplicity and humbly. As adults, we have things in our lives that can make it much more complicated to come to the Savior, as we will see in our next section. And so breaking away from the little children, starting in verse 18 of chapter 18, we change from infants to a young man. And according to the world standards, a lot has gone right for this young man. It says that there, he was a certain ruler. So we can imagine that he had lots of things under his control. He had lots of power. He had lots of finances. You know, he had a lot of things going right for him by the world standards. And obviously this man had heard some of the Lord Jesus' teaching before. And so he addresses the Lord Jesus by saying, "Good teacher, good teacher." And that, unfortunately, is how a lot of people view the Lord Jesus Christ today. Just as a good person who had some profound teachings that people could live by, totally missing the fact that he indeed was the Son of God. And what you'll notice next, after he addresses the Lord Jesus as good teacher, he says this, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life? What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And so, realizing that the Lord Jesus was a good teacher, he came to him with a petition and saying, "What can I do? Is there something that I can do to inherit eternal life?" You know, he had good standing in this world, and no doubt he had either obtained an inheritance from his family or he was going to obtain an inheritance. And so he asked, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And as we will see later on in this story, the man was relying on the things that he had done in this world to inherit eternal life. We should take a moment here to define what eternal life is. A lot of people, including myself, when I was younger, think of eternal life as just an extension of this life, an assurance of happiness after death. But what a miserable place that would be, to be just a continuation of this life. The Lord Jesus gives us a definition of eternal life in John's Gospel, in John chapter 17 and verse 3. He says, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Dr. Ironside, in his commentary, gives us a little bit of insight. He says this, "Eternal life is that which gives the ability to enter into and enjoy fellowship with divine persons, the Father and the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit." What joy to know that we can have true eternal life. It is the gift of God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The Lord Jesus then answers this young man's question. And oh, how wonderful the answer is. And how precious it is how he deals with this young man. Right where he is and right where he needs. And right what he needs to hear from the Lord. With this question, the Lord Jesus actually answers his question with a question. And with this question, the Lord Jesus was trying to get this man to confess Jesus as Lord. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This man said he wanted to be saved, but he would not confess the Lord Jesus as God. Psalm chapter 86 and verse 5 says, "For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you." And that refers there to Jesus' question back to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God." And so he was really trying to get this man to confess that he himself was God in the flesh. Then the Lord Jesus appeals to the man with the Ten Commandments. But you'll notice here that Jesus only uses the last five of the Ten Commandments. When we look at the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, we see that they are broken up into two sections. The first four deal with our relationship with God, and the last six deal with our relationship with our fellow man. The young man answers the Lord's appeal and says, "All these things I have kept since I was young," in verse 21. And this is why this young man thought he should inherit eternal life, because he had kept all of these commandments. He had done them. He had kept all the commandments since he was young. And this is the problem we face today in this world, is that we keep the commandments, the ones that the Lord Jesus listed here, and we think we are good in the eyes of the Lord. But really, what we're focusing on is our relationship with mankind. We're keeping up appearances. We're making sure that we look good to others. We're treating others right. We are making sure that we look good on the outside. But we're reminded what the Lord said to Samuel when he was looking for a king in Israel after Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7. The Lord speaking to Samuel, it says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." And so we can keep up appearances. We can keep the commandments all we want. We can do good, but God knows our heart. So if God knows our heart, then we have to ask ourselves, how is our relationship with God? After asking his disciples in Matthew chapter 16, "Who do men say that I am?" he then poses them a question in verse 15 of Matthew chapter 16. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And if you're here today, you can ask yourself that same question that the Lord Jesus asked his disciples. Who do you say that I, the Lord Jesus, am? Will your answer be like the rich young ruler and say that he is a good teacher? He's a good man. We should follow what he says. He keeps a good law. We should just follow that. Or will it be like Peter in the following verse in chapter 16 of Matthew, or verse 16 of Matthew chapter 16? Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, to show the heart of this young man, the Lord Jesus tells him that he lacks one thing. You know, by the world's standards, he's got it all. He's got riches, he's got people under his authority, he's got land, he's got all this stuff. He's actually, even by the standard of the law, he's a good, upstanding, moral citizen. He keeps all the commandments. He hasn't murdered anybody. He hasn't committed adultery. He doesn't steal. He doesn't bear false witness. And he honors his father and his mother. I mean, by anybody's standards, he's a pretty good guy. But the Lord Jesus says to him in verse 22, "You still lack one thing." And what is that one thing? Well, the Lord Jesus here says, "Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." And so what is that one thing? It's faith. He lacks faith in the Lord Jesus. What is faith? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." This young ruler, he hoped for eternal life, but he could not see that the Lord would provide for him if he gave all that he had to the poor and followed him. He did not have faith in the Lord Jesus. This man was resting on his works and his works alone, his keeping of religious law, but had no faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, in writing to the Galatians in chapter 3 and verse 2, says this, "This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" And Paul answers this question later in his epistles, in his letter to Titus. He says, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his," that's God's, "mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit." Therefore, since he was resting in his own good works, this rich young ruler, he became very sorrowful because he was very rich. That brings us to verse 24. We could ask ourselves this question this morning. Even if we aren't rich by the financial world standards, you know, if we're not a Fortune 500 CEO or anything like that, We are rich compared to most of the world, by the world's standards. Is it these riches that are keeping us from the kingdom of God? Jesus says to those who are around him, after this rich young ruler had left, he went away sorrowful. The other people were standing around, and the Lord Jesus says, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." William MacDonald says this about the camel needle illustration. Many explanations have been given of this statement. Some have suggested that the needle's eye is a small inner gate in the wall of a city, and that a camel could enter only by kneeling down. However, Dr. Luke uses the word that specifically means a surgeon's needle, and the meaning of the Lord's statement seems to lie on the surface. In other words, just as it is impossible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, so it would seem impossible for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. It is not enough to explain this as meaning that a rich man cannot, by his own efforts, enter the kingdom. That is true of rich and poor alike. The meaning is that it is impossible for a man to enter the kingdom as a rich man as long as he makes a god of his wealth, lets it stand between himself and his soul's salvation. He cannot be converted. So in verse 26, we see that those who were around said, well then, who can be saved? You know, it seems impossible. And the Lord Jesus' response in verse 27 is this: things that are impossible with men, that's a lot of things. You know, we see men strive all the time in this world to bring peace, get right with themselves, get right with their families, get right with the world around them. But these things that are impossible with men, including this previous illustration of the camel and the needle, it is possible with God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 3 and 4 says this: for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Praise the Lord that they are possible with God. And the only way that it's possible is by faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, that's God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In the last section of our portion today, we have Peter saying, see, we have left all and followed you. We've done exactly what you asked the rich young ruler to do. You asked him to forsake all and distribute to the poor, and they would have treasure in heaven and follow him. And Peter says, yeah, we've done that, Lord. We've forsaken all. We followed you, and we left everything behind. And Jesus answers Peter in verse 29 and says, so he said to them, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God, who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life. And so God is no man's debtor. If we are willing to forsake all and follow him, we will receive many times more in this present time, but also in the age to come. And we think of Job, who lost it all for the sake of the Lord. And how did the Lord repay him? In Job 42, verse 10, and the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. And so if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you seem to be lacking that one thing, then we would say to you this morning, as Paul said to the Corinthians, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God this morning. There might be one thing in your life this morning that just is preventing you from getting right with God. One thing that is standing in the way. And we have to remember the words of the Lord Jesus here, that the things that seem impossible with men are possible with God. It's impossible to do things in our own strength. It's impossible to rely on our own doing to get right with God. As we saw with this rich young ruler, he did everything in his power. He had everything that this world could offer, but he lacked one thing, and he went away sorrowful. And we'll see coming up in the coming weeks here, when we go to chapter 19 of Luke, we see Zacchaeus, who is in the same situation as this rich young ruler. He was a rich man. He had taken much from the people around him in excess taxes. And when the Lord Jesus came to his house, what happened? His life was changed, and he gave back four times as much than he had taken from them in the first place. And it wasn't something that Zacchaeus did on his own. It wasn't something that he was able to come up with. It was only something that God could do. And when the people looked at Zacchaeus, they said, This man is doing this? Like, this was the guy who was taking all the money from us. And now he is the one who's telling us about the Lord. And that's only something that God could do. The things that are impossible to do in our own strength, in our own power, are possible with God. And all it takes is just to come in simplicity of childlike faith. Just like these little ones who were brought to the Lord Jesus at the beginning of our portion this morning. Just in simplicity and obedience to God, they just came to him. And it said, as we read in Matthew 18, unless you be converted and become as little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And so we plead with you this morning that the one thing in your life that is standing in the way, that you would cast that on the Lord, and that he would take care of that for you, and that you would just humble yourself, and that we all would humble ourselves and just trust in him today by faith. And we just thank the Lord for his word. Let's just give thanks. Our God and our Father, we do again thank you this morning for your word. And we just pray that you'd help us this morning as we go from here to deal with the things in our lives, not in our own power, in our own strength, but to commit them to you. For the things that seem impossible with us, the things that seem that we cannot get done, are possible with God. And so this morning, Lord, if there's anyone here who hasn't trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, it seems impossible to them this morning that they could be right with a holy and righteous God. We just pray that their hearts would be made low, and that they would just put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, for he paid it all on the cross at Calvary. And for those of us this morning who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we just pray that we too would just leave everything at the feet of Jesus and just trust him for all that we need and all that we have in this life, and that we would just trust him to lead us and guide us in the way, in the paths of the righteous. And so we just ask for your help this morning, and we just ask your blessing now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.